Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 24. And this evening, the topic of the message which I'm going to give you, and as you know that normally I give topical sermons, and today the Lord spoke to me to give you this topic, the high call of Gideon. I think first time in this church, first time I'm speaking about Gideon. If my memory is correct, this is the first time I'm putting up this sermon to you. The high call of Gideon. So when I was preparing with prayer, and you know what? Before I came out of my house, I said to God, God, I want to experience you tonight. And you know what? Every week I pray with a burden for you all. You know what I pray? Every week I pray, God, we want to see the glory of God, and I want everyone to be touched by God. But today, I rewrote my prayer by saying, God, I want to be, you know, the one who is experiencing you. And I added with that statement, God, I didn't ask that people will be blessed. Because I know when I am blessed, everyone is going to be blessed. So God, I want to experience you this evening time. And I'm telling you, that prayer, God, I've heard tonight. I could experience the presence of God. And when I was connecting that to the word of God, I came to know that this is the night where God is actually going to be specifically talking to you. And none in this room will be empty-handed after this sermon. Gideon was called as a judge during the time where Israelites were going through a very intense, tensed situation. People were suffering a lot. And verse 6, if you look, there is one word which has been used, you know, I was just looking on different translations, and most of the translations have used the same word. They were impoverished. Verse 6. They were impoverished. That means there was nothing to be hoped inside them. Everything was in a kind of end of the rope. It is a time of giving up. Everything seems to be end. Even though they know that they are godly people, they know that the Lord have sent them, they know that they are led by the Holy Spirit, they know God is with them, but still, because of the troubles what they face, they feel like this is the end of the road. In the junction, they feel nothing is going to be in favor. But I have a message for you this evening time. Do you know that our God is a God who is so loving? I didn't hear an amen from everyone. Amen. Our God is a God who is so loving. And verse 7 onwards, if you go through verse 7 onwards, 7 to 10 is just an introduction. And 11 onwards, we will start the sermon. So be with me. In 7 it says, and it came to pass
when the children of Israel
cried out to the Lord
because of the Midianites
that the Lord sent a prophet. How many of you are with me this evening time? The Lord brought you here with one single purpose, and that purpose is to convey a message to you. There are times we feel like we are on downtime. There are times we feel like we are lost. There are times we feel that our prayers are not answered. There are times we feel no one is there, you know, to, you know, help us in this journey. But do you know how God is loving us this evening time? He sends his prophet to speak unto us. Hallelujah. And I believe this evening time, the Lord is going to prophetically minister to you. The Lord is going to prophetically minister to you. How many of you would like to agree with me this evening by telling amen for that? The Lord is going to prophetically minister to you. The Lord is going to prophetically minister to you. I will show you something tonight. You know, it is not because you are holy. It is not because you are perfect. It is not because you are so much close to God. I will show you in this passage. It is not that you are worthy for a prophet to visit you, but still, when God have seen your cry, when God have seen your tears, when God have heard your voice, He says, I cannot stay in heaven. I cannot stay in heaven. What I do is I visit you. I visit you. Because, you know, if you go through, you know, verse 10, it says, I'll connect to you in a little later from 7. Verse 10, and it says,
Also I said to you, I am the Lord,
your God.
Do not fear
the gods of Amorites
in whose land you dwell.
Okay, yeah. And the next word is very important. But you have not obeyed my voice. Can I hear an amen for that? Even though you haven't heard my voice, still I am ready to visit you. How many of you are seeing the mercy of God in this room this evening time? Even though you disobey me, even though you are not doing right, even though you are wrong, even you are in a wrong road, but the Lord says, I am still with you. I am still visiting you. I am still going to do a miracle for you tonight. And those people who say, praise the Lord, just give God the glory this evening time. Because God says, I am going to speak to you. It is not that you obeyed me. It is not because you were so good to me. It is not because you were worshiping me. There were a lot of things happening inside. But God says, still. Can I just stop there 1 minute? Still, even though you are not moving as per my plan, still, even though you are not walking in my way, still, even though you don't lead a holy life, still, Urakama Shamba Baradana. God is not looking at your list of holiness. God has His own way of measurement of holiness. How many of you agree with me this evening time? God will not measure your holiness according to your plan. If your mind is set with some holiness category, God doesn't work on your category. God has His category to be holy. But still, if you are not in that category, in that session, still God says, I am visiting you tonight. Amen. I am visiting you tonight. And remember this evening, what the Lord taught me from this passage. Before He sets a victory, be with me. Before He gives you a victory, He sends His messenger to you. Be with me. I said I'm going to be prophetical tonight. The Lord led me in that realm. When God does some miracle for you, what He does is, before He does a miracle, He sends a messenger of God to you to speak. Why do God do that? Because God wants you to stand still to receive the promises, what is about to happen. If your mind is not settled to receive God's promise, God cannot move with His promise. That's why He sends His prophets, that your mind will be settled to handle the promises of God. And listen to me. The second thing, what He does is, He sends a prophet. The second, the battle, Bible says it very clear, the battle belongs to the Lord. Before you go through the battle, God will raise someone humanly to stand for you. Amen. How many of you believe tonight? Rokamashia. When I was going through the word, the Lord was very specific to me. God said, I'm going to give you a prophet to prophesy over you. Not just that. After the prophecies are given, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to raise a man of God to be with you, to fight the battle for you. And for a long time, you are suffering. You are going through a lot of pain and persecution. But the Lord says, the battle is yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. The victory is given to us. Let the people of God say amen this evening time. And I just want to show you something very quick. I do a prophetical ministry. I respect prophets. But according to the word of God, every prophet should follow these three steps. What you see in the scripture. A prophet is not a person who predicts your future. That is not a prophet. A prophet is a person who will minister to you to remind you from where you came. And he will remind you what are you going through now. And he will say what is about to happen in the future. Look into the verse 7. This is not my, you know, way of preparing that. Look into the verse 7.
And it says,
verse 8. Verse 8. Why I'm standing here on the introduction part is unless we are prepared, we cannot go further. That the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel.
Who said to them, Thus says the Lord, God of Israel.
I brought, that speaks about the past. I brought you from Egypt.
And brought you out of the house of bondage.
I brought you out of bondages. That means, even though you were my children, still you were having bondages. You were binded by something, someone, some spirit. But I brought you from that bondages. Now, next verse. That is the next portion.
And I delivered you out of the hands of Egyptians. And out of the hands of all who oppressed you.
Next verse.
And drove them out before you and gave you their land.
Next verse.
Also I said to you.
And I said to you.
I am the Lord your God.
I am the Lord your God.
Do not fear the God.
That speaks about the present condition. I am your Lord. The one who brought you from the Egypt. I am the same God. You changed in between. That's why in verse 10 it says, you changed. You changed the God. You took, you know, other gods in your life. You took wrong connections in the journey. You wanted things to be instant. I'm speaking to someone's life tonight. When, you know, when you prayed and when you are preparing to God, you know, nothing was working as you planned. So what you did, you wanted instant things to happen. I received a call. I will not mention the name. But I received a call from Qatar. One brother, he is not actually a believer, but he's a Christian, but not a born-again believer. He said to this, and I got literally shocked when I heard this. He said, Pastor Blessing, I wanted to speak to you from a long time. And I was actually waiting to connect to you. But unfortunately, whenever I tried to call you, I was not able to reach you. And I was actually going through a big pain time. So what I did was, you know, because I was not getting you, I went to a wrong person. I'm not mentioning that too. I went to a wrong person. And what he said to me was, you know, if you do like this and do this way, your things will move very fast. And you know what? They tried some, you know, thing. And they said everything what was happening in his life. But what they said, that was very challenging to me. Even the other goddesses knows the power of our God. What they said was to him, but we cannot help you in what you are suffering now. But your God has the power. We can only trace what's happening. You know, even we can say from where, which guy this is happening to you. But we will not be able to help you out. But we know by looking into this system that your God will be able to help you. We take many shortcuts to make things very easy. My dear brother and sister, if you are taking shortcuts in your life, your shortcuts will not sustain you for a long time. Your shortcuts are a short, you know, short-term cuts, but it will not take you to a long term of your future. But God is speaking to you tonight. God says, wait unto me until I answer. Clear all the paths, what you need to clear. You know, obey everything what I spoke to you. Get a clearance from me. I am still your God. I am still your God. He is ready to help you this evening time. He is ready to help you this evening time. When verse 7, when I was meditating on verse 7, actually I was digging from 7 to 10. Lot of things God spoke to me. Actually, they were crying. Now, can you listen to this with me very carefully? When it mentions they cried, it doesn't mean they are so much into God and cried. The word cry there meant because of the torture they suffered. That word which is mentioned there is actually a human cry. And I'm speaking to your life tonight. Some of you are crying very badly. Some of you are praying with word place. Can I use that? I cannot use prayer. It is just word place. Because you know that you love God and you know that you want God, but still you are not able to connect with Him because of your wrongdoings. You are so much tortured by the surrounding. Now you don't have anyone to help you. That's why you just simply cry. But God waited for 250 years. I'll be coming back in this number. It was almost 200 years. They start now when the book of Judges, when Gideon was ministering now in this chapter, it was almost speaking about 250 years story. 40 years they took to reach to the promised land. Now almost 200 years. Are you with me? 200 years in the promised land. But still they are not being blessed in the promised land. Did I speak to someone this evening time? You are in the promised land, but still you are not blessed in the promised land. Why? Because there are certain roots that you need to be cleared. And God says, I waited and waited and waited, but still you couldn't respond to me. But seeing your cry, my God is so merciful this evening time. I see God walking in this room. I see God ministering to people. Even though you are not able to withdraw from certain connections and relations, what do you hold even now? Even God doesn't want that to happen. But still, because of your cry, He is walking to you, telling you, I am still merciful. Even though you are not praying in the right way, still, I am ready to help you because I cannot see you cry anymore. Here comes the man, Gideon. So God sent a prophet. Now, to work the promise, God needs a man. Be with me. To speak to us, He needs a prophet. To do the ministry, He needs a man. And God searched everywhere in the camp of Israel and found a man whose name is Gideon. And I love the meaning of his name. And I put a name also. The meaning of the word Gideon is he who cuts down. What I put is chopper. It's my word. But where is he now? Where is he now? I'm speaking to someone's life tonight. You have a high call, but you are hiding. You have a high call, but still looking around, and you yourself predict that nothing will be in favor. Because look unto the past years, that nothing worked in favor. So I end with a conclusion by telling, this will be the end of everything. A man who has a high call, who's still hiding, where he is afraid about surrounding. And the Spirit of the Lord prophesied to me, some of you have a high call, but still you are hiding because of the situation, because of your surrounding. Because what, now listen to me very carefully. I think this once I said, but again, the Spirit of the Lord is stirring me up to speak the same prophetical word. You know, around you have seen a lot of negatives, and still, because of that negatives, you feel to be negative. But God says, can you see God in midst of that negative? Even that will be, you feel that will be the end of this rope. But God says, still, there is promises of God in you. There is prophetical words that God has spoken to you, that his words are yes and yes forever. He never changes as you change. He never changes his system. He never changes his words. He never changes his language. He is the same of yesterday, today, and forever. God says, this is your evening where I am going to meet you. Even though you try to hide yourself. There are times I said, I will just disconnect my number. I will not show off to anyone. I will hide myself. When I said, many of you have said the same. You wanted to even change your number, hide yourself. But tonight, you may hide in front of man, but you cannot hide in front of God. In which extent you go, his eye is upon you. Now I try to give you very fast four different situations what Gideon have went through. So let's see according to the time I will be going. The first thing, I may run a little bit fast. That's why I gave you homework. Read chapter 6 and 7 when you go back home. Judges 6 and 7. The first thing, even though he had a high call, tell me, you know, repeat that with me. Even though he had a high call.
Even though he had an
everyone haven't said that. Ashwin, you haven't said that. You know, even though Gideon had a high call. Gideon's circumstances were not in favor. Gideon's circumstances was not in
favor.
The first thing, the circumstances of Gideon. What was the circumstances? Verses 4 through 6, if you read it, it's very clear. The first circumstances, be with me. I'll be quickly telling you a few points. The first circumstances, poverty. What was the first circumstances? Are you with me? Now, somebody who thought in the mind, and I'm seeing it as the Lord have led me to see that. You said, this is about me now. You said, this is about me. Even you have a high call, your circumstances are actually giving you to go through poverty. Your call is very high, but you are not able to live a high calling. You're not able to live in a way that God wants you to live in a best way. You are still suffering in poverty. Now, the biggest question, if God is with me, if I am the child of God, how can this poverty come? How can that poverty come? Will God allow? Listen to me very carefully. God will not allow poverty to anyone unless you give a chance for Satan. I'm not telling you the poverty is not there, suffering is not there. I always preach and I say suffering is part of Christian life. There can be difficulties in life, but there are times that we go in the depth of poverty is because we allow Satan to come in our life. That's very clear in verse 10. They were disobeying God and God was not with them. I know it's very tough to listen to this topic. The label you have is that you are the child of God. And you still say we are called as Israel. But still you are not obeying God. Still you are walking in your ways, not in His ways. And because of that, many struggles you are going through. But this evening time, look unto the poverty what they had. Verses 4 through 6 it says, the biggest problem, every year they used to, you know, try to cultivate something. But what happens is,
then they would encamp
against them. Who?
Against them and destroy the
produce. Who get against them? Verse 3, you know, can you just put verse 3 also? From verse 3. Yeah.
So it was.
Okay, read it very carefully, please. So it was whenever
Israel had sown, Midianites would come.
And also Amalekites. Now, when, you know, the Satan comes, it comes from four sides. Some people say it comes from four sides. But here we see from three sides it's coming. You know, Midianites are coming, Amalekites are coming, the people from the east are coming. Everyone, you know, when the devil plans, even though they are separate teams, but when it comes to play against a child of God, they become one. But that is the weak point for us. When we have different churches, but when it comes to prayer, we don't come together. We all will pray in our church. Because there is a spirit of our church. Are you with me? But the devil is not in this way. He is so good when, you know, he wants to attack, you know, God's children. What he does, even though they are different people, they come together so that they can destroy you, devour you, they can distract you forever. That's why you say that. And verse 4. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth
as far as Gaza.
I was actually so much tensed when I was reading this. Because they are doing their best to get something to eat. Not to earn something, but to eat something. And if you read, you know, continuously and you say, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither
sheep, nor
not
ox.
Only even agriculture, even the sheep, nor even ox. The ox, even nor the donkey, everything was destroyed and it was taken off. Verse 5,
for they would come up in their livestock and their tents coming in as numerous as locusts.
When the devil comes, we feel like this is as locusts coming to eat and squeeze us. Listen to me very carefully. They were actually going through a poverty. And that's why we see that Gideon, when he was actually desperate about the enemy, he was desperate about the people who are coming to destroy him. What he had a little wheat in his house. That is very important. The little wheat he had was actually a little deposit he stored for the livelihood. So what he did was, what he did, he brought it to the wine press. And he was actually, the wine press was actually in a, behind his house where nobody could see him. And he was not having a big amount to take to the, to the place where he have to, get the, wheat, to be, on his, as a stock. He want to get the wheat as a stock from, a different place. And he was not ready to go there, but he was ready to be behind his house where the wine press was there. And he was hiding because he never had a big amount of wheat to do it. He had only a little portion of doing it. That speaks about the poverty, what he is going through. It is not about the poverty, just the poverty. The second thing what you see is, in the circumstances, there was a persecution which was actually hurted their heart. Everything what they do, they had always destroyed them. They don't see any hope for tomorrow. Nothing was working out for them. Even a little small, a small portion of grain, even that also Midianites used to take. That was actually showing about the persecution, what they are going through. And actually, even though he was known as a person who is actually the judge in that time, but still he was not able to use his power. He feels he is powerless. The third circumstances, he was actually feeling so low. He was feeling as he don't have strength to fight this battle. He feels that he is about to die. He feels that he is about to give up. So the circumstances are very much in trouble for him now. What was the circumstances? Poverty. Second, persecution. Third, powerlessness. Everything was working against him. But in midst of this, Gideon, the second topic, even whatever your circumstances is, God has a commission upon your life. Can you say commission? Say commission. Come on, say one more time, commission. Even though your circumstances it's in a poverty, persecution, your circumstances is in a powerless mode, but still God reminds you that I have something to tell you. That is my commission is upon you. Can you touch yourself and tell, I am commissioned by God. I am commissioned by God. Whatever come in my life, I don't care, because I am commissioned by God. Not by man, not by any prophet, not by any pastor, but I am commissioned by God. Verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 12 and 13. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him
and said to him, the Lord is with you.
The Lord is with you.
You mighty man of valor.
You mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him,
uh-huh. Oh my Lord, uh-huh. If the Lord is with us,
yes.
Why then has all this happened to us?
I'll be coming a little later there.
And where,
God says now, yeah, that's fine, thank you.
And where?
It says, thank you. It says that the Lord was with him. Did you see that word, the Lord was with him? God's commission, let the people of God, say with me this evening time, when God has a commission, he has a promise. When God has a commission, he has a, one more time, when God has his commission, he has a promise. What was the promise? Many times when God calls you, he never calls you looking unto your current situation. He calls you looking unto your future. Now tell me, how can he call this name, the Lord is with you, and you the mighty man of, How can he call him looking into the current situation? Now, he is hiding himself behind his house. He's actually scared about Midianites. He's scared about the situations, what's happening around. But still, look into God. God never calls your name according to your current situation. God calls your name seeing out your future. And you know what God did? This is what's very important. Be with me. We see, not only in this place, the pre-incarnation of Christ is mentioned in the Old Testament. Are you with me? Christ was born in Bethlehem. But in the Old Testament too, the Christ revelation was very clear. And it was visible in many places in the Old Testament. And one of the verses for the proving is this part. It says, one more time, verse 12, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord. Can you see that word, Lord? We see here the theophany of God. The theophany. What is the theophany? What does theophany mean? The theophany means the appearance of God in a visible form. The appearance of God in a visible form. That's called theophany. And moreover, if we go a little more in depth, it is not just theophany, it is actually Christophany, which is the actual revelation about Christ himself revealing to Gideon. Even though Christ couldn't reveal fully himself, even Gideon doesn't know this is Christ, but still the revelation was from Christ. There are many fannies which have been used, and I'm not going on those area. Theophany is the appearance of the God who is invisible to be in a visible format. And Christophany is an appearance of Christ revealing himself to those people. And if you study in the Bible, I'm just giving you a few very quick revelations so that you will digest it. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. Don't read. I'll be going very quick. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. It says, to Adam and Eve, Christ, the manifested Christ, the preeminent of Christ, the existence of Christ was actually revealed in 3:8 in Genesis. It was Christ who was visited him. In Genesis chapter 18, when Abraham was at the tent door, when he was actually at the door, of the tent, it was actually, three people have visited them, and one was Christ coming up with a message. In Genesis chapter 16, we see when Hagar was in the wilderness, when the baby was crying for water, Christ was manifested. The Christophany is seen. There are times when people go through so much intense trouble. The vision about Christ himself is seen throughout the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 32. When Jacob was at the river, Jabbok, he had received the visitation of an angel. The Lord, he said. The Lord mentioned there is actually Christophany, the appearance of Christ visiting Jacob at Jabbok. In Exodus chapter 3, when Moses was at the burning bush, the Christophany we can see. Numbers 22, when Balaam was on the way, when the donkey started to speak, you see the Christophany, that the revelation about the Christ is seen. In Joshua chapter 5 verses 13 through 15, even Satin Bhai was going through, when Joshua was at Jericho, he have seen the Christophany. In Judges 13, we see Samson have experienced Christophany. There are many evidence in the Old Testament speaks about the appearance of Christ in a visible format. Even though in the Old Testament he was invisible, but there are people who visit, he himself have visited, and he himself have revealed to them by telling, I am there to support you. Can I ask you this evening time? We have promises more than the people in the Old Testament. Can you take Hebrews chapter 13 verses 5 quickly? Hebrews chapter 13 verses 5. Our promises are not the promises of the Old Testament people. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you. Come on. Are you with me? When God wants to send his angel for a work, he sends an angel. But all this scripture which we went through right now, wherever the Christophany was revealed, that was actually purely showing when man was out of his control. No one was there to help him and support him. When he was on the break, he was about to, go out of, the situation. God have sent his own son so the manifestation of Christ will be seen to those people. And now if you see this verse, to those people, if Christ have revealed it in that way, how much he is revealing to us. I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord. It is not to some people. In the Old Testament, everyone couldn't experience it. Everyone couldn't experience God. But some people who have experienced God. But the beauty of the New Testament, it is not to some people. It is to the entire people in this room. Christ is ready to reveal himself to you. He is ready to start a new life with you. He is ready to begin something fresh tonight. How many of you like to say this prayer with me? Christ, be with me. I just want to start with you. If you have a breakdown in this journey, if you feel you're totally collapsed, the revelation of Christ is here tonight telling you, I will not leave you. And look into the perception of God. When he was actually called with a great commission, the promises was there. And second, do you know that God has a perception? Many times, your perception is not working. Your perception is destroying you. Some kids, when I counsel to some kids, they tell me this, Pastor, I don't think I can do it. When you say you cannot do it, you will not do it. But when you cannot do it, when you say that God is with me, he is on my side. Last week, I was ministering in Abu Dhabi. And when I visited one family, the daughter who wrote the 10th grade exam, she brought the result. She have shown me the mark list. She said to me, I have never got a pass mark for my maths. Every time in 80, I had 4 or 5. But when I was looking at her math sheet for maths in the 10th grade, the last exam, it was B+. She have never passed. But the final grade has come B+. And even she doesn't know it. I don't know what happened, because I prayed for her. And her mother have said to me, she's not going to win. She's not going to, pass out. I said, don't say negative, say positive. She will be passing out. Do you know what? The one who is studying well in the school, they got only 70, 77%, 78%. But she got 79.5%. What I'm trying to say is that if God's promises are with you, whatever may be your situation, never predict your future. God knows your future. Can you repeat this word with me? God predicted my future. God has already predicted my future. It is safe and sound in His custody. So I am well. I am well. I am well. Tonight, declare it. I am well. My perception is wrong, but God's perception is correct. God's perception is correct. Gideon had a confusion. I'm just running off now. Gideon had a confusion. What was the confusion? Verse 13, it says, God, if you were with me, the question is, you know, you and me are, so that's why, you know, a lot of things, there are similarities with my life. 13, it says, if you were with me, the first thing, God, where was your presence? The first question. The third point, Gideon's question or Gideon's confusion. Let's go and see, right? Okay, let's go and see. Gideon's circumstances. Second, Gideon's commissioning. Third thing, Gideon had a lot of confusion, questions. What was the confusion question? If the Lord was with me, then why all this happened to me? Did he ask that question? Okay, good. Now, the second question. If God was with me, where was your performance? First, he was asking for the presence. Where was your presence? Second, he was asking, where was your performance? I haven't seen any miracle from 250 years now. I started, yeah, promised land we came. But still we are struggling. What is the benefit of going on? Are you with me? What is the benefit of going on? Are you performing? Gideon's perception with a confusion question. If the Lord is with me, why this defeat is coming? You have the same question tonight. And because of this question, remember, when you ask a negative question, it affects your faith. Be with me. When you ask a negative question, it's affecting your... Come on, repeat that word. It's affecting your faith. But can I say something to you? Looking into the past, can you predict your future? Look into the life of Abraham. He was actually from a pagan, you know, sect where he was coming on. He came to the faith. Can you give some marks for Abraham from his past? Nothing. But God have called him faithful and the father of nations. Right or not? Look into the life of Jacob, a big liar. Later, God called him as the father of nation of Israel. He was called as Israel. He was a liar. Background was liar. Joseph was a slave. But he was the one who saved the world. Moses, he was a shepherd. A murderer. But delivered 600,000 plus people. There was a servant girl which is unnamed, which we can see connecting to Naaman about, you know, in the book of Judges. There is nothing background to say for this servant girl. But still, God was ready to, you know, expose her. Esther was actually on a slave position. Nothing was there to boost in her life. But she was the one who delivered Israel. Matthew was a tax collector. He never had any right to write about the king of Jews. But still, God allowed him. Saul of Tarsus, he was actually against the people of God. But still, he was the one who took time to write half of the New Testament. Can I ask you one question? Looking into your surrounding and looking into your life, you cannot predict your future. You have a high call. Can I repeat that word? You have a high call. But I have a promise for you this evening time. There is a confirmation. The fourth thing, there is a confirmation what God is giving you. And I'm going to pray for you. Even though he had asked a lot of questions, and I was just thinking, my God, you see this guy who took 300 people and have done great wars, but this guy was very much having questions in his heart. He was actually fighting with God many times, doubting God many times, doubting in the sense, in a positive way. He wanted God every time to prove. That's why we see later, he said, let me prepare something. He went back home. He took a portion of flour and he prepared a meal brought to the presence of God to offer it as a sacrifice. You know what God did? I will wait for you. He waited. God waited for Gideon to come back to offer that presentation. And still he was not happy. And God said, this place will be remembered as the place of shalom, the place of peace. God said, I am with you. I am with you. And this evening time, God says, when though you ask so many questions, still I waited for you for a long time. You made me wait. I am not actually a person who waits for, you know, something. When you asked, I was ready to wait for you. But are you ready to respond to that high call this evening? Even though my situations are all negative, I have a big God who came to me and prophesied to me and told, I am precious. I am the one who is going to do this battle. I'm going to save the entire nation. And God have called me. God have chosen me. And take off all the confusions you have tonight. Let your circumstances put on sight tonight. Can you say, God has a confirmation for me? God has his own commission upon me. So I am taking a step forward. Can we stand in the presence of God? Take a decision with me this evening time. I'm taking a step forward. Just close your eyes. I'm taking a step forward. Everything seems to be closed. Nothing is working out in the plan you want. But are you ready to take off all the confusions and all the questions and all what is negative from you? Can you just take it off and allow the Holy Spirit to move to you? My dear brother, you have a high call. My dear sister, your call is so heavy. You are not an ordinary person. Never substandard you. Never subside your life. Never put your life yourself as very low. How can you say that I am nothing? How can you say I don't have anything to boost myself? Come on, you boost yourself in Christ Jesus and tell I have a call. Oh, Rakashi Antara Makashi Antene. I have a call. I have a call. I have a call. Tell God this evening. I have a call. It is actually when you say it back, it is a confirmation. What you said to God, God, thank you for the call. What you have given me. Oh, Rakashi Urama Shamdara Jara Hamdere Shakada Hatune Ramana Hamdene. Oh, Ram Shamana Hamdal Proudava Regalagadaga Shiana. Hallelujah. Rikamana, the Lord is prophesying to me. Even though God have given you a high call, you're going to minister to those people who for namesake have called them as the children of God, but who walk against God. But God is going to make you stand among those people as a mighty warrior. The call of God is actually a heavy call. The call of God is a heavy call. That's why God have called, you know, our church as the church of redeemed remnant, because God wanted to separate the remnant from those groups where they are already messing themselves up. God says, can you be sharp? Can you be strong? Can you be more available for God? By telling God this evening time, God, I'm ready for your high call. God, I'm ready for your high call. I know I have a high call. My call is not a low call. It is a high call. Even though my lifestyle is a low living style, it doesn't affect anything, you know, to my call. Even though I live in a low status, I have a high call, which is a call from above, the call from my God. I have a call that takes me to the next level. This evening time, tell God, God. Shantana ragana hatune rikama shambala rampamana roshantane. God is calling you as a mighty warrior. God is calling you as you are going to stand as a mighty warrior. Do not look your circumstances. Do not look your confusing questions. God knows you have so much confusing questions. Actually, he was actually waiting for God to come in so that he can ask all those negative questions. When you came to the presence of God, do you have so much negative questions? God says, just take off all the negative questions. But can you declare this evening time? I have a commission from God. God have given me a promise. The promises are yes. He said he is going to use me. He is going to take me. He is going to, oh Ramashia, he is going to make me more sharper for the kingdom of God. And I have a confirmation. Say it out with me. I have a confirmation. I have a confirmation. I said to God, God, never leave me until you accept the presentation. Never leave me. You know what God did? He never said, I will go and come back. But God said, I will wait until you prepare the meal. He's still waiting for you to come back, to give you the best presentation. How many of you are ready to say to God, God, I'm here to give you the best presentation. Tell God. And when I was looking into this chapter, just keep on praying. When I was looking into he and his family doesn't have anything to eat. But do you know, the quantity which is said in the scripture is almost 35 pounds. 35 pounds of wheat was the flour he brought as cakes. He made, cakes to present in the presence of God. He had nothing to eat himself. He never had nothing for his family. But when it comes to present in the presence of God, he said, whatever I have, I'm bringing unto you. I need a confirmation. Are you ready tonight? You may have only a little penny in your hand right now. You may have a little portion tonight in your hand, but can you say, thank you, Lord, for that little portion? I'm bringing it to present. Come on. I need people to pray with me right now. I'm bringing it to present into your mighty hand. I know you will take it. You will take it. And you know what? You know, Bible says, I just love, I don't have time to go on those ideas. That's why I skipped all those things. You know what Bible says? The angel, the Lord, he took the rod is always with the shepherd, and in the New Testament he's the good shepherd. He took the rod, he touched the offering by that rod, and you know what happened? The fire came and preached on the presentation. Shamdala ragalagadaga shamdare. It may be a little to present. That's fine. Portion is not a big thing for God. But he's looking, are you ready to give the best to the Lord? Can you say, God, here am I. Here am I. Thank you for the confidence I have. My confidence is in Christ Jesus. If anyone have not received Christ as your personal Savior, this evening time, the Christophany in the Old Testament, the pre-incarnation of Christ, came in Bethlehem as an incarnated Christ. He himself have revealed. He lived for 33 and a half years, stayed in this earth, have done a ministry. The God of the universe, he gave his precious life for you and me. And he have poured out his precious blood so that your sins will be washed away. And he wanted to call you righteous and holy people. He died, he resurrected, and he is on the right hand side of the Father God, and still he is interceding for you. If you are not yet received Christ Jesus, take a decision. Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for speaking unto me. I have a high call. I surrender my life. As we close our eye, let's sing together. By surrendering to God, by telling God, thank you for the high call I have. Thank you, even though my circumstances are totally negative. I have poverty. I have persecution. Everything in my life goes powerless. I don't feel active. I feel inactive. But I have a commission. The commission with a promise. The commission with the prediction. Not the prediction of any man. Not the prediction of mine. But the prediction of God Himself. He is upon me. And every confused questions, go away. Go away. Because it is eating my future. Go away. I have wasted 200 years without seeing anything in midst of us. But I have a confirmation tonight. God is ready even still to accept my presentation. I'm ready to offer the greatest and biggest sacrifice. Let's sing unto the Lord this evening time.